Nice. Little grungy. Little distortion in there. Yeah, that's right. Wednesday afternoon, 5 o'clock, G&G Hockey Show right here on 92.9 Kick FM. I'm Al DeWight. Joined with me, Matt Nicholson, pumping the tunes, rocking the board, and repping the Andrew Ladd jersey.
Yes, Andrew Ladd. Captain Extraordinary. What are you laughing about?
Yes.
Guys,
Right off the bat, you're already candid, Matt.
I'm not hating on Andrew Ladd.
I'm going to start hating on you, Jeremy. Shut it for a second. People are giving Andrew Ladd the gears. The guy is maybe not on pace, but he is definitely within reach of getting as many goals as he got last year, which is what we paid him for. Lay off Andrew Ladd. He's laid off the offensive penalties. So lay off the offensive Andrew Ladd talk, Jeremy, or I'm coming through the booth.
Okay.
Toll booth Willie style.
Okay. Well, Jeremy Ettinger is also here in studio.
Hi. I'll rebuke that later.
We'll get to that. Evan Patterson, of course, we're going to do Evan Proline's picks at the end of the hour in the third period. And as always, I can't believe he's here. Dave Hollier, sports director.
In person this time.
Yeah, actually in person. Ruining my life one moment at a time.
I just want to say quickly, Matt, I have canned the Ladd hate since you've started playing good. So, yeah.
So right off the bat, we're going to get it.
So, yeah.
What is wrong with you guys today? Were you guys eating goofy pills or what? Everyone's all...
I've been with you all day. I've been staring at a computer screen for 9 hours.
That's true.
Whatever it's been.
That must be what it is. Lots to talk about today. Of course, trade deadline on Monday happened and went. It was... Well,
boring.
Boring is what it was.
Wow.
A lot of hype, no finish, just like a lot of things out there I can go into details about, but just use your imagination. We'll talk about the Jets, what they need to do to make the playoffs, other than just winning games, being the obvious. And then we'll look at the games coming up here, who's going to fall out of the playoff race, who might creep up on in. So I think we're in for a good show. We've got a full table here. So it should be good. So let's go right off the bat. Oduya to Chicago. Do you guys like it or not?
You know what? We needed to trade off a defenseman, especially with Mark Flood sitting in the press box every game. Mark Flood's a great defenseman. He deserves to be playing in the NHL. And I think the Jets want to have him on the team. And, you know, you look at our defensemen, it's kind of hard to beforehand. Oduya was the only one where you could find a balance of are we willing to get rid of him and are we going to get anything in return? Because, you know, I'm personally not a big Randy Jones fan, but it's going to be hard to find a trade, especially for two draft picks for a guy like Randy Jones. Whereas, Oduya, he's got enough skill and teams want him. Chicago was insistent.
And I think if there's one strength that the Jets have, it's definitely depth on defense. So in that sense, I think that Johnny Oduya was expendable, and we certainly picked up a fair amount for him to get a second and third round pick. Is huge for the Jets, and definitely moving forward, they can build on that and develop this team a little bit. And there's a lot of potential there to pick up some key players. And
I'm going to stop you right there, just to interject. I don't think a second and third round pick is a huge pickup for any team other than Detroit.
But calm down a second. I'm not going to calm down, so someone else has to. You go first, Dave.
Well, there's a lot of potential to pick up a key sleeper pick in the second and third round. Certainly, there's very few first-round picks, in my opinion, that actually pan out. And it's those second and third-round people that develop and come out of the woodwork and make splashes for the team years down the road that are going to be huge for the Jets in a few years.
And that's what this really is. This isn't an immediate result sort of thing. This is a long-term, I think, a great thing for the Jets in the long term. Get a couple extra draft picks in a couple of years. Once the team's kind of, you know, started to cohere, is that the word I'm looking for? I don't even know. Once they know what they need, they'll be able to go in there and say, all right, we got a bunch of guys we can pick up right now. We're going to take them, you know.
Well, I think it's clear. I think the one thing about this trade, though, is what it does signify is that the Jets really have no intention of doing anything in the playoffs. Which I think was pretty obvious from the beginning. I think it's pretty obvious. If you're going to make a playoff, if you have any intention of making a playoff run, you probably want a guy like Oduya, despite the fact the turnovers are a big issue. But he's a great skater. He's really creative. He's pretty. And I think for the Jets, it's a good trade. And I think it's also a good trade for Chicago. I think Chicago could use a guy like that. They're missing those kind of middle-of-the-road pieces. And I think Oduya is going to fit in very well over there.
Chicago desperately needed a defenseman. So it's definitely great for Chicago.
I want to say this, all right? this trade. I can't believe you're even giving any sort of negativity toward this trade, because I don't know if you guys remember when Sergei Bouton got drafted. It was out of left field. Everyone was shocked, and it was horrible. This one shocked me because of how great it was. Second and a third round pick. Look at this 2013 draft. We got a first round, 2 seconds, and by we, I mean the Jets, and 2 third-round picks. You can make some deals. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's
going to be the greatest draft ever.
That's what it is. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I think what this gives them the opportunity now is to leverage that into something else. Now you have an extra second and a third round that you can parlay. You can package that with another player, and actually, you know, you can acquire better pieces with these picks. Not necessarily draft with them, but use them to turn them into something.
But I don't see how you equate trading Oduya to giving up on the playoffs. Oduya wasn't doing much. 13 points. Lots of turnovers. Him and Randy Jones, questionable at best as a tandem. I think getting Mark Flood in there, he has more offensive spark than Oduya, I believe. He's an unknown commodity, and having him sitting in the press box was just a waste of everything
time.
Good. That's what I would say. Everything good.
I got to go with Al on this one. I think it definitely symbolizes that the Winnipeg Jets aren't really making that big push for the playoffs this year. Otherwise, they would have went out shopping. They're only 1 point out of eighth spot in the East right now. And it's definitely a great move for their future. I mean, next year's draft, as you said, Matt, is going to be excellent. But when you look at it, it's really going to mess up the chemistry on that defensive line for the Jets. And
I don't even think next year's draft. I'll just think next year. Say Scheifele comes in, maybe a Gregoire or a Postma comes in, Flood comes into his own. We get to trade deadline next year, and we got seconds and thirds to trade for someone who might help us in the playoffs next year. Maybe get up in the draft, trade a second and a third for a higher, or maybe we're going to be better, so we trade a first and a second for a high first-round pick that puts us over the top. And
that's
by us, I mean
talk.
The Jets
No one in their right mind is going to give up a first-round pick for a second and a third. You'd have to be...
I said a first and a second to move up in the first round.
Oh, okay, sorry, my mistake. I'd say that's like, I don't know, something John Ferguson Jr. would do. Or...
that one hits close to home, doesn't it?
Oh, man, don't even get me started. I might start crying if we get into that a little bit later.
All right.
I do want to talk about one trade, though, before we go on more into the Jets here, that I absolutely loved. I think it was the only good thing that happened on trade deadline day, was Cody Hodgson to Buffalo. For Zach Kassian.
Yeah, it's great for Hodgson.
It's great for
it's a guy
everyone.
Who's had potential for a long time. He's had the back problems. You know, we saw him miss a whole year, play a year in the AHL. It's great to see him, you know,
and
clearly Buffalo wanted him.
Well, yeah, and it works because he's clearly a top six centerman,
yeah.
And there's no way he's going to beat out Kessler or Sedin.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's a perfect move for him. He's going to go to Buffalo watching. I bet you, I'll put money on this right now. I bet you Hodgson's going to score 30 goals next year in Buffalo.
I definitely think Buffalo got a steal on that one.
This was a late-breaking trade in the day. It happened right around the 2 o'clock hour where the deadline happened. And I think that my feeling is that they worked on this all day long, this one trade, to really make sure that they could work out the details and make sure that both teams had their best interests in mind going into this. And I think that it worked out perfectly for both teams, and moving forward, obviously Buffalo's looking to next year, and they could definitely use a player like Cody Hodgson next year to help build that kind of depth for that team. And moving forward into the playoffs, a gritty player like Kassian will be huge going into playoffs for the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, as much as I hate Vancouver, and oh, how I hate Vancouver and the knuckleheads, Kassian's going to be great. I mean, he's like 6 foot
he's
four,
a big boy.
220
yeah.
pounds at 20 years old and mean.
Yeah.
Remember in the juniors when he just nailed that Russian kid and they suspended him for hitting too hard?
Yeah.
And that's the perfect guy that Vancouver needs. Yes, he's young. You know what? He's probably only going to see about maybe 6-7 minutes a game at best. But next year, a couple of years from now, he's going to be, I think, a great, great third line guy for him. I think that's something that's hard to come by.
He's that type of player that can be an impact player, and like you mentioned, he can be a beast out there, and that's something that the Vancouver Canucks were looking for, was grit on their team, and it's something that they will definitely use moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, so I think we're all in agreement that this was a great trade for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Gavin's nodding, Jeremy's nodding. Matt's,
I think Buffalo got the best of the deal if Hodgson can stay healthy. That's the only question. That guy's got a heck of a shot. He's a game changer, a catalyst, and I don't know if Cassian brings that. I wonder if Cassian's going to get lost in the mix with those guys like Mason Raymond and all those guys who have grit but can't really score much and don't really put Vancouver any farther ahead than they were. I think, holding on to Hodgkin and developing him would have helped out. And do something with Schneider. I'm livid. I'm sorry, Dave. I know you're going to get on my case for this. But leaving him on the bench, it's an injustice. I can't believe it. The Canucks, I don't know what they're doing over there. Make some moves, because they're not winning any Stanley Cups this way.
One of the things that confused a lot of people, a lot of reporters, on trade deadline day, was that there seemed to be little to no movement or little to no talk about moving Corey Schneider anywhere. It seemed as though no one wanted him, and a lot of people couldn't understand it.
Are you kidding? Backtrack a month from now and put Corey Schneider on Tampa Bay. Let's see what happens to that.
Yeah, well, the news was that there wasn't any kind of rumblings going on.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. There's no way Vancouver is going to trade Corey Schneider. I mean, look at Luongo, no playoff save goalie. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You need Schneider. For Vancouver to make a run, they have to have Schneider.
Sure, and that's why they took the deal off the table almost immediately on deadline day, is that they're not giving up a player like Schneider, whether a lot of people feel...
Unless it would have been for Rick Nash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be the only trade I could see that would make sense.
Sure. And Rick Nash, as we found out, the price was just too high.
Mm-hmm. And he should be dealt in the summer anyways, I felt. I was kind of hoping... I got to figure if the Rangers would end it up with... I mean, that was a huge price to pay. They're saying Delzada was in there for sure and Dubinsky, but if the Rangers would have acquired Rick Nash, I would have... got straight online. I'll put $100 on New York to win the cup. Thank you very much.
I would disagree. I think that they would have paid too much to get Rick Nash, and that they would have blown up whatever has gotten them where they are right now. And you know, rarely has a trade deadline deal actually panned out, and it doesn't happen very often. I think this is would have been one of those duds, and it would have to be Rick Nash having a great playoff run to... you know, for the Rangers to take a serious shot at the cup, and that's not a guarantee in any stretch.
Just going back to the Schneider issue, actually, it was amazing to me that no one went out shopping for goalies this trade deadline. I mean, names like Javi Bulin, Gustafson, they were all being thrown around in the mix, and no one jumped. And there's several teams that really need a goalie at this point.
That's true. I know there were a couple people after Reimer as well, Hammy Bulin. There was one. Ottawa did pick up... Oh, my mind just went blank. What's his name from St. Louis? They grabbed that one, but that's because Anderson cut himself open with a knife.
Ben Bishop.
Ben Bishop, thank you.
One team that kind of shocked me in this... Sorry, Al, but the Toronto Maple Leafs, the fact that they didn't make more noise than they did, I think that they're kind of still looking at... They're on the outside, sort of looking in terms of playoff chances right now. And I think they don't have enough to make that run right now. And I would have hoped that they would have made more moves come trade deadline day. And Brian Burke just wasn't happening. He said that he has what he needs. Do you agree with that?
I don't know if I agree. I don't know if necessarily... Here's the deal with the Leafs right now, is that when their goaltending is great, it gives the team confidence. When their goalies are playing well, they're an entirely different team. When their goaltending has it been for... basically all of February, they're garbage. They're nervous. You can tell they're too scared to do anything. Burke did say yesterday, however, that if he would have pulled the trigger on the trades, Toronto would have ended up with 4 first-round picks.
Yeah.
But, and I'm paraphrasing here a bit, these guys are between 3 and 5 years away.
Yeah,
so,
well, absolutely.
Do you want to wait that long? Can Toronto, the Maple Leafs, and Brian Burke especially really afford to wait that long?
Not at all. I think Leafs Nation has waited well long enough. I mean, 1967, it's a long time. And, I think Leafs fans are just itching to see the Toronto Maple Leafs at least make the playoffs. It's been forever. And these Leafs fans, they're not very patient fans in comparison to other fans around the league. So I think Burke made the right choice in not pulling the trigger. And hopefully the Leafs can muster something out in this last bit of the season.
And like you mentioned, how much time do they need to develop? Like, how long has it been since they've made the playoffs, and how long have they been a rebuilding team? At what point do you say enough is enough and we need to start picking up big name players to start making an impact in the league again?
Well, it's not like they haven't. I mean, they were definitely in on the Brad Richards. I mean, every time there was a big name thrown around, it was always seemed that Toronto Maple Leafs were involved in it. And it's, again, it's a special circumstance. I mean, Burke kind of has his way. He doesn't, he's not a big fan of the lengthy contract, so he kind of likes to stay away from that. And, I mean, you got Kessel. I mean, Kessel's never going to carry a team. He's a great secondary. He's your great winger. He's your great number two. He's your number two. They're still missing that number one, and it's going to take time. There's no denying that the Leafs are a better team now than what they were 3 years ago. I don't think you can argue that. But are they there yet? Well, judging on these last couple days, no.
No, not yet.
No. Not at all.
No, and Brian Burke, like you said, he does have his own way, and he's, even when there's really nothing going on for the team, he still plays his cards close to the chest and doesn't want anything out and doesn't want anything to kind of tarnish this organization. And, you know, I think the main thing that's tarnishing this organization right now is their play on the ice, and something needs to be done about that. I don't know if it's a coaching issue, if it's a developmental issue going all the way down to the Marlies, but this team, just year in and year out, is always on the outside looking in.
Let me tell you, Dave, I'd be holding my cards close to my chest, too, if I was carrying a pair of twos here, okay? The problem in Toronto is they're so jumpy. They're trading everyone everywhere. Keith Ollie's out. What, you're not going to give Keith Ollie a chance? Like, how many games did he play for the Leafs? Goaltending, I told you, Al. I told you, Evan. Reimer, what, these flash in the pans. Why aren't they making a deal for Schneider? Stop getting the flash in the pans. Toscola, Ray Kroft, Jeremy Ettinger. There aren't good goaltenders.
What, just out of curiosity, what would the Leafs possibly offer Vancouver for Schneider?
Oh, geez. I don't know. There's many options. The
really?
Whole team, except for Kessel. Anyone. Schneider, I think, is
Toronto,
the goaltender.
Vancouver
next
is so much better than Toronto.
Yeah,
what
you need
could
to look
Toronto
it, yeah.
possibly offer Vancouver for Schneider?
Oh, some pieces and some picks.
Yeah, I don't think Toronto's really willing to give away too many first-round picks anymore.
Toronto has a lot of money. They could throw $1 million on the table and $15 million plus some developmental players, maybe some picks. They could throw a hefty amount onto the table. It's whether they're willing to do that or not, whether the price is worth it.
And keep in mind, too, Toronto has a very, very good prospect system. I mean, they've got Joel Colburn and they've got Nazem Kadri, two players that were touted as one day a first-line center or first-line forward. So the Leafs definitely have a lot of people prospect-wise, and they still have lots of big-name players that they could ship out, as well as two goalies that they're not sure who's number one. So.
And Scribbins didn't look too bad the times he's come up as well. We are going to take a short break here on the Give and Go Hockey Show. We'll
I'm going to take a shirt break.
A shirt break? Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone, take off your shirts. It's that kind of show today. 92.9 Kick FM. We'll be right back talking more Jets, what they need to do to make the playoffs.
I'm Downtown, host of The Onslaught on 92.9 Kick FM. I like my tunes hard, fast, and loud. If you're down with the Misfits, the Ramones, and the Dead Kennedys, then tune in to 92.9 Kick FM Wednesdays from 6 until 7 p.m. for The Onslaught. Not good enough? Concert ticket giveaways every single show. That's The Onslaught, brought to you by War on Music, Wednesdays from 6 until 7 p.m., only on 92.9 Kick FM.
Closer to the music that matters. This is 92.9 Kick FM.
Hey, baby. I'm here to fix your radio. Well, here's your problem. You haven't been listening to Behind the Beat.
Excuse me, who are you?
Shh, girl. Just let me do my thing. That's better.
That is good.
Just tune into Behind the Beat every Monday at 5 p.m. on 92.9 Kick FM, and everything's gonna be all right.
The work week sucks. But weekends mean sports, and sports rule. Friday Faceoff has what you need to start your weekend right. Join Dave, Matt, John, Garrick, and Evan as they throw down over the week's top sports stories. Friday Faceoff, every Friday at 5 on 92.9 Kick FM. Kick FM, your indie sports station.
And we're back on the Give and Go Hockey Show, 92.9 at Kick FM. This, the second period, brought to you by Hem Baguette.
I love that shameless self-promotion going on before this, too. There's a commercial for Maddie's show, commercial for Dave's show, and a commercial for Al and I's show.
That was an extended break, too. We made sure to get those commercials in there.
We had to. We pay good money for those.
Hey, these Hem Baguettes don't eat themselves, all right?
yes, we are in the second period. Myself, Al the White, Matt Nicholson, Evan Patterson, Jeremy Ettinger, our special guest, and our not-so-special guest, sports director Dave Hollier.
How did I not see that coming?
The man who gets made fun of more than anyone.
You think after all these times of
interviews, you'd think I didn't start anticipating that was going to happen.
Not at all.
But we love Dave.
No, we don't. Don't lie.
Well, clearly you don't. Don't lie.
Okay. Winnipeg Jets talk. We kind of got carried away with the Leafs there, but we do that because half of us are Leaf fans.
Let's get that straight. 40% of you guys are Leafs fans.
Well, today. Well, 66% of the original cast is Leaf fans. Mm-hmm. But, yes.
Statistics aside, let's talk about the Jets.
Yeah, see, that's what we don't like having you on our show, Dave. You kind of ruin it. You're no fun.
That was totally.
I want to talk about sports. I'm sorry.
Okay, Jets. I'm getting this on track right now.
Winnipeg
Jets. What do they need to do to make the playoffs? Al, I'll let you start. You look like you got a lot on your mind.
What do they need to do? They need to keep getting lucky. Is what they need to do. They need for Washington to fall off the face of the map. They need for Florida to take a dive, and they need the Leafs to keep on doing what they're doing. The Jets are playing, Edmonton game aside, are playing at probably, I'm going to say, above their potential just a little bit. They're playing about as good as they could possibly play.
They need to play every game as if every game is the playoffs. Every game means that they're going to make the playoffs.
Do we have a cliche horn we can play?
What they really need to do is actually... start showing up to the games against teams that aren't so high in the standings. I mean, we've watched this game in and game out. You know, they go out and they play against the Blues. They play a great game. They play great games against, you know, teams like Philly, like Boston, you know. And then teams like the Islanders come into town or the Oilers. And, you know,
it's just like,
I'm left shaking my head while I'm walking out of the arena.
And it's so perplexing because you don't think that it's a lack of effort on the Jets' part. But if they're going out and they're losing to the worst teams in the league, it's a head-scratcher. And the coach just, any coach doesn't know what to do with something like that.
Well, Jerry, you had said earlier that you were a big fan of the Winnipeg Jets' defense, and I got to disagree on this one. I think the only reason that the goals have been low in some games is because of Pavlik. The Jets can't let Pavlik bail them out game in and game out because that's what's happening. Pavlik's putting up 40 saves, 30 saves a game. He's coming up with the most beautiful saves, highlight reels every night, and you just can't let your goalie be put through that much work.
I'll agree with you to a point. The Jets do a very good job of keeping everyone to the outside. Pavlik faces a lot of shots, and he makes a lot of real nice saves in the game, but the majority of the shots are coming from 15 feet out. And when you have a good goal, dare I say, a great goalie like Pavlik, you can afford that. I mean, let them shoot from 15 feet out all they want. No one's going to score on them.
But they're also giving up the cross-crease passes and the one-timers, and a lot of these goals are being tapped in, you know, and Pavlik has no chance.
And this is something that drives me nuts about the Jets defense, and especially when Dustin Byfuglien.
Yeah.
Dustin Byfuglien, I'm putting this on record, has got to stop playing like he's 4'3", 100 pounds. He's got to play like the beast that he is. He's got to start being stronger on the stick. He's got to finish his checks. I mean, forget about... I don't really care about the pinching. I mean, okay, sometimes it's bad, whatever. I don't care about some of the giveaways. You know, he's got great offensive side. I'm down for that. But, man, if I see him coming back down with a one-on-one with a guy in front of the net coming in and just standing there idly beside him and have a guy tap it in one more time, I'm going to go insane. I'm going to start throwing something on the ice.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that, Al, because we have seen it. But what I'm going to say is I think it's hard to pick Dustin Byfuglien out of the team and single him out because we see all of our defensemen doing that. You know, they are, I'm going to say, I think they're a really good defensive core, but they do have these lapses often, and you know, on a period-to-period basis. And you will see guys who just kind of stand there. They're really light on the stick. They, you know, they give a guy a light, gentle shove while he skates by. And I just think, you know, to blame Byfuglien, who's really giving our team a lot of chances in the offensive zone, a team that's struggling to score. You know, you see a guy who's making the same mistakes, but he's also putting up these offensive positives for a defenseman. You know, I think they got a lot more things to worry about right now than Dustin Byfuglien on his own.
You don't want to single out Byfuglien, so let's not. Let's talk about someone that needs to utilize their size. How about Nick Antropov? This guy is a huge, huge boy, 260 pounds, something like that, and he's content to do those puck battles in the corners and try to poke his way into getting a scoring chance or a passing chance when he could be muscling his way to the front of the net and becoming a force out in front and creating those screens. And he's just content to play from the outside and doing nothing out there.
That's been going on since Toronto.
I'm going to add to that point from Dave because like we've seen it when Byfuglien does pinch, as soon as he gets that big body in front of the net, the Jets' goals just... their chance of scoring just skyrockets. You know, you see a lot more goals when you see Byfuglien parked in front of the net. And if they could get Antropov, who's actually a forward and actually should be right in front of the net, if they can get him playing that kind of hockey, parking his butt right there, I mean, it's too bad that he's on the fourth line now because he's really, like...
Maybe they should ditch Antropov and spend all summer teaching Byfuglien how to take faceoffs.
Hey, that's a great idea.
It's not a bad idea because the Winnipeg Jets have established one of their scoring plans of attacks, and that is taking shots from the outside and creating traffic out in front. And if Antropov is not the guy that's muscling his way out on the front and creating those screens, then they need to find someone else to do it. And like you said, that might be a Dustin Byfuglien moving up to forward.
I mean, if you can find a way, I think if the team was a bit better, I think having Dustin Byfuglien pinch all the time and do that swing around and go in front of the net, would be feasible. If you had a winger who could come back and play smart on defense, and right now it kind of looks like Bermie's the only one
who
could do it.
I was going to say, we're seeing Burmistrov, who has played great defensively, I think, for a guy his size, his age, coming from Russia, where you know you don't see a lot of forwards who play great defense.
Typically not known for their defensive skills.
So I think it's great to see Burmistrov, 20 years old, second year in the league. He's putting up a decent amount of points, and he's one of the only guys who's coming back, and he's doing a good job of covering the blue line there.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not a defenseman, but he's doing a good job.
His turnovers have cut down a lot. He's a safe guy. The thing I love most about Bermie is the way he can take the puck kind of at his own blue line, do a quick little move where no one should ever be doing a move, and come up with the puck and make a smart, quick play right afterwards. Yeah. He knows how to create that space, and that's a hard, hard thing to do. That's not really something you can teach.
Yeah, and I love him on the penalty kill, too. You know, he'll take the puck down into the corner in the offensive zone, kill off 20 seconds, dish it out to the blue line, get a line change.
Oh, and his wrist shot is dreamy. I love that.
And have you seen the pictures before he cut his hair? Oh.
But you raise a good point, Jer. I mean, when our best two-way forwards are, you know, Kyle Wellwood and Burmistrov, there's a big problem there. Those are our smallest guys, right?
Yeah.
And then we look at our Canes, and, you know, the coach is benching him because he's not putting out his whole effort. So,
well, okay, Kane's been a lot better recently. I mean, you got to... Whatever you say, you come back from an injury, especially a concussion, it takes time. I'm loving the Kane Bermy Welly line.
Yeah.
I just used the size as an example just because the coach said it.
Kane's a big boy. He can definitely be getting back. He's got the speed, too, so it'd be nice. I mean, I love him offensively. It'd be nice to see him throwing a little bit of that defensive, maybe a dash of defense.
He probably doesn't know how good he is at defense right now, and that just shows his maturity as a player. And I think that's something that will develop later on, much like an Alexander Ovechkin, who still isn't great at defense, but he's gotten a lot better since he first entered the league, and he has a lot more of a defensive mind than he ever did when he first entered the league.
Yeah, but I mean, I think in Kane's case, and especially playing on that line, I think you can afford to have Kane be that, dare I call it, a cherry picker. I think he can be that offensive threat because you have Bermy, because you have Wellwood, who are so good. Good, yeah, good. Not going to go with great here, but really good defensively. You can afford to have Kane be that, always that kind of that threat that's always out there. You can't leave him alone. Defensemen are always paying attention to him, looking behind them, checking, because you know he's going to make. And if he gets a step on you, I mean, the guy drives through the net like Eric Lindros did. I mean, it's a thing of beauty.
My only issue with that is that's relying on Kane to be on that same line with Burmistrov and Wellwood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if, let's say Blake Wheeler goes down with an injury? Oh, I don't even want to say it. Knock, everybody, please knock on whatever wood you can find. But, you know, what if they need Kane to step up and play on the first line for a little while, and then he doesn't have those guys covering back for him, and he's still playing the same way?
Well, that's where it gets dangerous, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it only works in this scenario.
Theoreticals.
I think Kane has shown flashes of brilliance all season, and I think he's been one of the best players on this Winnipeg Jets team. But I hate to compare it to this, but it reminds me of Matt Sundin playing with Nick Antropov and Alexei Ponikarovsky, you know, an extremely talented player, but he doesn't have the guys on his wings to help him out. And I think that if Kane got better players playing with him, then his goals would go up, his points would go up, and his plus minus would go up as well.
Well, that's I mean, that's an obvious one. I mean, you know, God bless Kyle Wellwood, but I mean, he's an all right hockey player.
He's second on the team in points. He's not saying a lot on the team that's kind of struggling to find goals, but you know, he's had a pretty good season.
Yeah, he's
had
a really good season.
He's made an impact on this team.
Oh, yeah, on this team.
Yeah, and he's definitely what the Winnipeg Jets needed, and a great pickup in the offseason, no question about that. And you know, he's one of those guys. He's a situational player, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
and he's one of those guys that really can get it done when the Winnipeg Jets need it the most. And that if should they make the playoffs, that might be something they lean on.
Well, they're going to have to, but once we get in the playoff hockey, and everyone always seems to forget, but once we get in the playoff hockey, the game, remember how much the game changes
mm-hmm.
in playoff hockey? And it's always the same case. Your first two lines end up wiping each other out. Your first two lines are a wash, and it comes down to your third and fourth lines. Winnipeg Jets, GST. Man, love that line. Love that line. That's a line that will win you playoff games.
We're talking about great pickups over the summer. Let's talk about Tanner Glass, who has come in. I mean, 13 points is his career high, so it's nothing special. But for a third liner, I mean, the guy's playing great defensively. He's up there. I think he's top 10 in the league for hits right now. He's leading the team. He's just been out there flying game in, game out. One of two players to play every game this season. I just love the guy. I loved him as a Canuck. I got the Glass jersey at home, I'm not going to lie.
He does. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I nearly crapped myself when they signed him.
Matty, you're looking awfully quiet over there. What's up?
Not too much. Carry on.
he's a cooking up something.
Yeah, speaking of GST line, though, I'll just throw this out there. I love seeing them on the Rick Mercer report last night. It was great to see them, you know, having some fun. Like some guys you see as grinders, and a lot of times you think, oh, they're probably no fun, but having a good time with Rick Mercer, firing some slap shots at him.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. One player that really, really turned his game around this season is Blake Wheeler. Now he's sitting atop the points. He's the leader for the points for the Jets. And, wow, everyone was on his back at the start of this year. Where are the points? What's happening? And now he's pulled a complete 180, and it was perfect timing.
Yeah, he's playing with confidence. He's playing like a man possessed. But that's, I mean, right now, I mean, Kane was for a while, but after the last few games, man, Wheeler's been my favorite guy. You know, I love my boys who drive hard to the net like that.
Oh, I love that. Skate down the left side.
Just can just go and push the D out of the way and beat them. Man, that's...
You know what I love about that, too? Even after defense has started catching on, he still makes it work. He's a big guy. He's 6'6". I mean, you see him in the scrum, and you can find him, you know, you can find him in a crowd of 10,000 people.
There's nothing scarier than a 6'6" guy who can skate.
Yeah, and make things happen. He's a playmaker out there, too. And when there's nothing going on, offensively for the Jets, he's a guy that can make a play out of nowhere, and get the team going again. So he's definitely a fire starter for the Winnipeg Jets.
No question about that. So I think we're all, I mean, it's a pretty mute question. What do the Jets need to do to make it to the playoffs? They got to win games.
Yep.
We'll be right back. 92.9 Kick FM. You're listening to the Give and Go Hockey Show. Third period in Evans Picks coming up.
The Mop Musings on Politics is your source for intelligent, thought-provoking talk on local and national issues that affect you.
This is huge news, if it actually turns out to be anything.
From stimulating conversation.
You know, it's not off-limits to some kid with his computer. How long before it's not off-limits to official organizations?
To controversial debates.
You're going to open up a whole can of worms as well.
Tune in to The Mop every Tuesday at 4 p.m. only on 92.9 Kick FM.
It's Friday afternoon, and your roommate informs you that she's just invited your entire graduating class over for beers tomorrow night. She also reminds you, during a heated Risk tournament, you agreed to shell out for a keg should you fail in your quest for total world domination. Having lost miserably, you find yourself with your back against the wall yet again. You could call the other brewery in town, but they're not open on Saturday, nor will they take your order with less than a week's notice. The people at Half Pints Brewing Company understand your plight. Parties happen. That's just a fact of life. They can fill an order with less than 10 minutes notice. Plus, they've got easy-to-use kegs in three different sizes and just happen to have kick-ass beer to boot. The call goes in. The evening is saved. You are the hostess with the mostest. Half Pints Brewing Company. Small brewery, big flavor.
Does anybody read me? This is War Arm Music, 42 Albert Street Outpost. We can save you if you're under attack from corporate rock or the other powers that have poisoned your air with pop fluff. Arm yourself with everything heavy and hard you can on every format, even cassette. If War Arm Music doesn't have it, they'll get it for you. So get down to 42 Albert Street. War Arm Music, liberate your tunes.
That's quite the ruckus music you got there, Maddie. Give and Go Hockey Show, 92.9 Kick FM. We are back for the third period, which means it is Evan Patterson's picks today. Myself, Aldo White, Matt Nicholson, Evan Patterson, special guest Jeremy Ettinger, and special guest Dave Hollier, our sports director.
Yeah, whatever, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, just keep playing on your phone there.
I am doing research, thank you very much.
Good, you need it. Before we get into actually the picks,
oh boy!
Before we get into the picks for tonight's games, let's just go quickly. A quick little playoff thing. We'll just take the bottom few teams here from the East and the West. Do you think they're going to stay in? Do you think they're going to pop out? Basically, in the East, we're looking at Washington, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Florida, even though they're in third right now. But you know how that Southeast thing works out. Who do you like to stay in, and who do you think is going to fall out?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think the Panthers are going to finish in third there. You know, the Jets have significantly less games left than most people, so I think they're working an uphill battle. And the Capitals, you know, they've had kind of a weird year, ups and downs. You know, they're on a win streak right now, three games. They're only 1 point above being out of a playoff spot. But the Jets have eight games coming up against Southeastern teams, so hopefully they can win a couple against Washington and Florida. And you know, I'm not counting on it. I'm thinking it's going to stay fairly similar to how it is right now.
One team you left out there, Al, was Tampa Bay, and I have it in the back of my head that Tampa's just going to make a late push, and I think that they might be able to get eighth. You know, I've got that eighth spot locked in with the Toronto Maple Leafs, so I've got to say, I think that Washington will slide. I think Winnipeg will slump. I think that the Oduya trade will be kind of a turning point in the season, and it'll be downhill. I hope not. But I see Toronto at 8th with Tampa pushing really close in at 9th.
Fair enough.
Do Toronto Leaf fans ever deal in reality? Tampa has no chance. They're selling. They're moving guys. They're getting ready for the future. They still don't have goaltending.
Yeah, if they would have got a goalie, I might agree with you. But
I just can't discount a team with Marty St. Louis, Le Cavalier, and Stamkos.
They can score all the goals they want if they can't keep him out of the net.
I'd hate to be a homer, but if I'm going by a team that has solid goaltending, and if I believe that's what gets you into the playoffs, then I have to go with the Winnipeg Jets, because there's no team on that list that has consistent goaltending right now in this playoff race that would have a chance to get into the playoffs. So I have to give it to the Jets.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Maddie, what are you saying over there?
I think Winnipeg sneaks in. I think Winnipeg maybe gets that 8th spot. I don't see us catching Florida. I got to agree with Jeremy on that one. They did free agency, right? They got a lot of guys under the radar, great guys. Like, I think of Versteeg, which is a steal. I'm surprised that the Leafs let him go in the first place, and then I believe Flyers last year. A guy like him bouncing around really does surprise me, because he's a playoff catalyst, too. But I think Winnipeg, they have the home games, and they have enough games against division opponents that they can make a difference. I don't see Washington's a shambles. I don't see them making any noise. Toronto, who knows? No goaltending. I already said that. I know what happened there. No goaltending. So, yeah, Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg makes it in, and Washington slips out faster than a 2004 wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, nice. Funny. I like the pun at the end. You know what? I'm going to have to say that I think, because Winnipeg, their last five games are ridiculously easy. I think they got, like, Carolina, the Islanders,
they got
Florida.
Two against each of the Southeast teams, a couple against the Islanders, a
Buffalo. No, I think Tampa
Buffalo.
Bay, they end with Tampa Bay,
they end with
I believe.
Tampa. It's not a hard ending to the season.
No, it's not. I honestly believe that the whole Southeast is just going to fall over and die. Winnipeg's going to slide into the third spot, being first in the Southeast, and Toronto, just by default, is going to end up in 8th because everyone else sucks, even worse than they do. Wishful thinking, I know, but that's
I love Winnipeg fans. It's not like my team's good, it's other teams
suck. Yeah.
And it's great. I love it. I'm not sarcastic at all.
Moving over to the West, and this one's like almost impossible to call.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
You got sitting at the bottom, Colin, you got Chicago in 7th with 73, then Dallas, Colorado, and LA, all the three of them at 70 points. Calgary with 67. I don't know. I don't think Calgary. I'm not even going to bring Calgary into the conversation, actually. So let's just go Chicago, Dallas, Colorado, and LA. That's how it stands, 7th to 10th. Jeremy, what's going to happen there?
You know, it's really tough to say. Dallas and Colorado have both been playing really well lately. Chicago kind of in a bit of a slump. You know, they lost their last three. And with the three-way tie for eighth place, I mean, it's going to be an interesting stretch here because, you know, no one's chasing anybody, right? Yeah. Like, you're all just trying to keep on winning to stay above the other two more than anything and stay in that eighth place, because from there, we see a big jump. There's two teams with 73 points, and the Predators have 81. And there's no way that the Stars are going to make up 11 points on the Predators in the last month of the season or anything like that. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good push for eighth. Being a former Avalanche fan, seeing the Avalanche last week, you know, still a Milan Hayduk fan and all that. So, I'm gonna say they're gonna prevail. They've had a strange season too. You know, they started off really good. They're leading the league for a bit, and then kind of, shall we say, pooped the bed in the middle of the season for a bit. But they've been playing well lately, so should be that'll be a fun one. That's far more fun to watch in the East.
Yeah, this Western Conference, it is a tight one, and it should be a good race to watch. Currently, Chicago and Dallas, Chicago's 7th and Dallas is 8th. I think that LA is definitely a good enough team. They've got some real talent. However, they did get rid of Johnson, so I think that could be a pretty big question mark for them. Calgary picked up Camilleri, and I really like this move. And I actually see Calgary making a push along with Colorado. I think Colorado's a pretty solid team. But keep in mind, Dallas was sitting atop of the West for a while, too. So if they get their spark again, they could make a really nice push as well. But I say 7th, 7th I'm putting Colorado, and 8th I'm putting Calgary.
Can we just cut off? I can cut off the mics to the Leafs fan. You guys don't even know what's going on here. Although I will say this, I do agree with you, Evan. You did say one thing that made sense to me. Los Angeles, Jeremy, you were talking about poop. And Dean Lombardi, his team doesn't get in these playoffs. That guy is in a whole load of it. But I think that Carter trade might have been just what they need to get a few more goals. How does this team, they pick up Richards. Well, Gagne's hurt. But they have Kopitar. They have so Dustin Brown, Dustin Penner, so many goal scorers. They got defense that can move the puck. I thought it was a good idea to move Jack Johnson. Not that you want to. He's a great piece. But I think he had to make, he's saving his bacon, Dean Lombardi is. And I think that trade for Carter, if he can't get Nash, might be enough to get this team scoring goals, get them in the playoffs, and win me my hockey pool.
The one team that stands out the most to me in this playoff race in the West is the Dallas Stars. And, you know, going back to goaltending, they have it in Carey Lehtinen, and that's just something that Colorado, you mentioned it. I mean, Jeremy, you mentioned Colorado, and I do like Colorado as a solid team. But for a team that doesn't seem to have a lot going for them, they're a solid team that seems to just find goal scoring and have a solid defensive core. Unfortunately, they lost Kyle Quincy in that trade that sent him to eventually Detroit. But this Dallas Stars team, I mean, Mike Ribeiro is just having an incredible year. You can't say enough about Jamie Benn, who snuck his way into the All-Star game this year, and so he's having a bit of a breakout year, though that was a long time coming. And like I said, goaltending for this team, I think this team, especially with the games at hand that they have, the one game at hand that they have, I think they have the best chance of going into this one.
I can't get rid of the fact that Dallas got rid of James Neal. We are a little bit pressed for time here, so I'm going to just blow through this so we can get to Evan's picks. I gotta take LA, man. Like, I got a soft spot for them. I mean, they got it. That team is way too good to be as bad as they've been playing. So I'm gonna put LA up there in place of Dallas. I don't think Chicago's going anywhere. I mean, they're a little weak. I don't think they're gonna do anything in the playoffs, but I think they'll stay there. So those are my picks. Maddie, basically, I'm agreeing with Maddie, but not actually agreeing with Maddie.
I can't agree with Maddie.
But let's look at the games today. There are 1, 2, 3, 4. Games on the debut today, if I can count right. Yep, that's right. Pittsburgh and Dallas, Toronto and Chicago, St. Louis and Edmonton, Buffalo and Anaheim. What do you got for us, Evan?
Well, listen up, folks. If you want to make money, February 29th is the best day. Take your ProLine ticket out now because the games are going to be starting soon. So I'll start off with Toronto visiting Chicago, and I think Toronto is bound for a win. This is a playoff-hungry team. They want to make it. They need to make it, because if they don't step it up, then they're going to slip further and further behind, and they're going to do it. Then we've got St. Louis at Edmonton.
Well, Dave, what do you say about that? Toronto and Chicago. Keep it quick.
Toronto and Chicago. I give it to Chicago because they finally picked up a defenseman, and they can get it done.
Okay, I'm going to negate that because a defenseman who doesn't actually play defense, and agree with Evan on the fact that, man, the Leafs got to win at some point.
All right, well, we see two teams in this similar situations, both fighting for their playoff hopes, both on a losing streak. I say Blackhawks win it. Oh, do you, with 5 goals.
Someone's going to win $1 million from Safeway. Oh, Maddie's pausing.
I joked about that. He's not going to score 5 goals.
Matt's livid, but his mic isn't on.
These Leaf fans here. Evan tries to just jump past the fact that he obviously chose Toronto for no reason other than he likes them. Then L brings it back just so he can pick the Leafs too. I'm cutting the mic next time you guys try and pull that garbage. Everyone on this panel, including you two, know the Leafs stand no chance. They're going down the tubes. They're doing what they do at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year this year. So get used to it. They're going to end up in 10th probably again.
You're cutting the mics, including your own? Is that what's going on here?
Oh, now I'm coming through the booth.
Maddie, who are you? Okay, so Maddie's obviously
Chicago. Come on, they got Oduya. He's going to get some life in there. And they didn't give anyone up. I was going to say, I had an insight. People were talking about Pavlik, surprised that he gave up 5 goals on 25 shots. And he's right. I know what time it is. Hey, he sits beside Oduya. Oduya might be a dressing room catalyst. I think he goes in and makes a difference, and they win this game big. I think Toronto, they just put the boots to Toronto, and they don't even get up after this one. Watch them just float down to the bottom of the standings.
Next show, I'm working the board so I can turn your mic off. next game there, Evan.
Listening to Dave and Matt, explain how Chicago is going to beat Toronto because they have Johnny Oduya. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. The turnover king of Winnipeg is going to be the reason that we beat or that Chicago beats Toronto.
There's a great sponsorship in there for some pizza place with Oduya.
Chicago's in a... That's nice. I like that one. Chicago's in a much better place than they were before, where they had no defense. They desperately needed a defense. And Chicago's a solid team, and I'm not saying that just Oduya alone, but they needed a defenseman, and they got one, and this increases their chances against the struggling Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, I'll leave this topic alone. So we'll hop over to St. Louis visiting Edmonton. Edmonton's been very hot of late, but St. Louis, they're sitting in fourth in the West. They're a much better team in my eyes, so I pick St. Louis to beat Edmonton on this one.
I think it's a no-brainer. You'd think that any team beating Edmonton is a no-brainer, but you look at a team like St. Louis, who's just had a insane year that no one really saw coming.
Do we say Hitchcock for Coach of the Year?
There's no question.
Him or McLean? Him or McLean, right? I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to take St. Louis, yeah, as well. It's about time they had a good hockey team.
Yeah, I got to go with St. Louis. This is a team that's winning by committee. They don't have any stars, but they got a lot of guys who are scoring goals. They're not scoring a lot, so let's take some St. Louis action tonight.
All right, we have...
We got Maddie. Hold on. Maddie's going to throw us 2 cents.
My feelings here. I was coming in with a great bit, too, for you. I'm going with Edmonton. I think they got Nugent Hopkins back. He, I think, is the difference...
Yeah, he played great against the Jets.
Oh, I'm going to get you. I think... I think they're a better team, and not a better team, sorry. I think that they're playing not better right now, but I think they're playing better than they were, is what I'm trying to say. And I think St. Louis has played a lot of games on the road lately. They've been traveling a lot. Look for Edmonton to sneak one out, and you know I have my games in hand, so they have a couple games in hand, so I'll say that will be the difference tonight.
All right, well said. And then we got Pittsburgh traveling to nice and hot Dallas.
Ooh.
I have Pittsburgh to win. Once again, I think they're just a better team. However, that being said, Dallas is a desperate team, but Dallas is also a team much lower in the standings. But they are at home, and they are desperate, so it could be anyone's game.
Dave?
Well, give me those two teams again.
Pittsburgh at Dallas.
Pittsburgh at Dallas. Well, then, as I was just blowing Dallas's horn and saying that they were the team to beat in the West. You got to give it to Pittsburgh because Malkin is just going off right now and having another career year, and he could single-handedly win a hockey game for this team. So I got to give it to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, well, Dave, stop blowing Dallas's horn and pay attention, okay? Because I also agree Dallas is going to win. Pittsburgh, they just need the Crosby. I always pick against Pittsburgh. They always win. It's not happening tonight. Even though I don't think Dallas is going to make the playoffs, I still think they win this one, and I think it's one of those, a big trip, it's a long trip, so give it to Dallas, and don't blow their horn.
Yeah, you might have a point there, Maddie. I think I might have to join him. Though Pittsburgh's a better team, I am actually going to agree with you and go with Dallas on this one. And just on a side note, have you guys noticed the last few games there have been an awful lot of crossover? Like, in terms of, East going to West games? Like, there seems to be a lot of that going on right now. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a weird thing in the schedule, I guess.
Yeah.
Finally, we have Buffalo.
Finally, we have Jeremy's pick for that last game. I'm taking Dallas.
Oh.
Now we're hurting Jeremy's feelings. We have two hurt feelings.
I'm never coming back.
Shattered emotions here at Give and Go Hockey Show.
It's like, yeah, I guess we're all wallowing in self-pity.
All right, well, can I go now, Jared?
Yeah, just keep going.
Sorry. All right, so then we've got Buffalo traveling to Anaheim. And this was a tricky one, too. We got two teams, similar positions, opposite conferences. I like Anaheim, personally. I think Anaheim has shown a little bit more flair in this past little bit. So I think I'm going to take Anaheim for that reason, even though they have just lost their previous game.
Well, they are two awful, awful hockey teams, but... I'd say that Anaheim is less awful than the Buffalo Sabres, so I'd give it to the Anaheim Ducks.
I'm going to say that the Bruce Boudreau era of the Anaheim Ducks is much different than the Randy Carlyle era, and the Anaheim Ducks, despite what they look like right now and where they're placed in the standing, is actually a very good hockey team. They're going to absolutely throttle Buffalo tonight.
I'm calling this as the sleeper game of the night. There's going to be two, possibly three goals throughout the whole thing, and I'm giving it to Anaheim.
Yeah, I got to agree. Complete sleeper. Thanks, Jeremy, for putting that one up there. Give it to Anaheim just because I need points for my pool. Getzlaff, let's go. Getzlaff goals. Oh, and Pominville. Let's have a shootout.
Oh, there we go.
6-6-7.
What do you? So how much does your ticket here pay, Evan?
Well, with this $3 investment, I could potentially earn $39.42.
There you go. Good enough for a case of beer. You're listening to that was Evan Picks here on the Give and Go Hockey Show. We will not be having a show next Wednesday because we will be at the Independent Professional Project presentations at the Convention Center. It's going to be a 3-day event. Come on down. We're really excited to present all the great projects that we do here at the Creative Communications course, and we're very much looking forward to it. 7th through 9th, second floor, Presentation Theater. Winnipeg Convention Center. I'm just repeating myself at
it's
this
free.
Point. Yeah, Dewey's got the camera on me, and now I'm freaking out.
I live next door.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, oh, we can go to Matt's house after.
We'll go to Matt's for lunch. 92.9 Kick FM, the Onslaughts, up next.